2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
President Joe Biden calling on states to adopt their own red flag gun laws. It comes after three failed attempts here in Utah to enact something similar in the Utah legislature.
To just take their guns without having their day in court before that happens is just wrong.
And Utah's congressional delegation is weighing in. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik begins our live team coverage. John?
Yeah, Amanda, red flag laws allow the temporary removal of guns if someone is determined to be a danger to themselves or others. There have been several attempts over the last 3 to 4 years to pass a red flag law here in Utah. One of the lawmakers who sponsored a failed bill aimed at this is Senator Todd Wiley.
We are in the belt of the top five suicide states per capita. And so I do think we should be having these discussions.
Meanwhile, members of the Utah Shooting Sports Council have said they're also concerned about suicide and domestic violence, although they don't think red flag laws are the answer. In the next couple months, President Biden is looking for example legislation from the Department of Justice, which in turn he says states can then use as a guideline going forward. Live, John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
President Biden will not be looking to members of Congress from Utah to support his new gun control measures. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas continues our team coverage.
Congressman Chris Stewart said Biden is on the wrong path and accused the president of contradicting himself on support for the Second Amendment. Burgess Owens issued a statement saying the president apparently believes no amendment to the Constitution is absolute and Congress needs to weigh in on any changes that could affect Second Amendment rights. While Senator Mitt Romney might support updated background checks, his spokesperson told the Deseret News he won't support current federal legislation on guns. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Two communities are reeling from back-to-back shooting sprees. ABC's Faith Abube has more.
Police say an employee at this cabinet company in Bryan, Texas, shot and killed at least one person, wounding five others. The 27-year-old suspect also wounding a state trooper before being arrested. Investigators have not released a motive. Less than 24 hours earlier, a shooting rampage in South Carolina ended with five people dead, including a prominent local doctor, his wife, and two grandchildren. A man working at the property also found dead. Investigators identifying the gunman as former NFL player Philip Adams. They say he later died by suicide.
Philip Adams' sister says his mental health degraded quickly in the past couple of years. She told USA Today behavior shifted dramatically and they were getting concerned, and she wonders if it is connected to his NFL career.
Other national stories KSL is following. British royal family experts are talking about the death this morning of Prince William at age, or excuse me, Prince Philip at age 99. ABC News contributor Robert Jobson remembers the Duke for having a sharp wit and warm personality.
So many people are so on edge when the royal family come to meet them that he was able to sort of lighten the mood, and then everybody had a good time. And essentially, that's what he was always trying to do.
The palace is expected to release more details about the funeral and memorial service in coming days. Queen Elizabeth is now a widow. She turns 95 later this month.
Today, the Interior Secretary will tour parts of the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. Yesterday, she visited Bears Ears with Governor Spencer Cox and members of the state's congressional delegation. Senator Mitt Romney says the monuments have become a game of political ping pong.
There could be lawsuits going back and forth. The administration could do something permanent so that the ping ponging and the lawsuits end.
Holland says she's gathering as much information from all different sides before making her report to the president. She says the federal and the state government want mostly the same things.
The Wall Street Journal says Salt Lake City is home to the hottest job market in the country. Their new report says as the pandemic raged last year, no metropolitan area in the U.S. expanded the size of its labor force more on a percentage basis than the metro area around Utah's capital. Salt Lake also had the lowest average unemployment rate and the highest share of people working or looking for jobs.
New York is raising taxes on people who make more than $1 million a year. The tax rate will be nearly 52%. That is the highest personal income tax in the U.S. New York regularly ranks among the places with the highest wealth inequality in the nation.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.